Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we were discussing the reasons why a person, he makes istighfar when a person, he leaves the bathroom, when he leaves the toilet, he says ghufranak, that Allah, I seek your forgiveness. So first we said that when a person leaves the toilet, then at that time a person cannot engage, or when a person is in the toilet, he cannot engage in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So to say, that time has been wasted. So therefore when he leaves, he makes istighfar. The second, which Mullah Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi has written, that if a person is in the bathroom, he's in the toilet, then we look at our outward impurity. So at that time, just think of your inward impurity, so much of inward impurity I have within me, so much of pride I have within me. And for this, a person has to make istighfar, he has to make tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I think one of the buzrugs, whether it was Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, it was occasion of Jumu'ah or Eid, and he had worn a clean kurta, and he was proceeding with his disciples, he was walking. And somebody from the top of a house had thrown a bucket of dirt and ashes onto him. So he said, Alhamdulillah. So his murid asked him, they said, Hazrat, is this the occasion to say Alhamdulillah? So he said, I acted on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that first when this person threw this bucket on me, I read, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is a khususiyat, this is a speciality of this ummah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un was not given to any previous ummah. It was only given to this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith it is mentioned that if inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un was given to anyone, then it would have been given to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time when he lost his son, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what he said, Ya asafa ala Yusuf, oh my grief upon Yusuf alayhi salam, on my separation with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So if he was given inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he wouldn't have said Ya asafa ala Yusuf. He would have said inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So this is a speciality. This was only given to this ummah and no previous ummah. That is why any difficulty, to the extent that if a person, his shoelace has to break, then too he should read inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The light was burning, the lamp was burning, or in our times the light was on, and it is now load shedding, the lights were all switched off. At that time, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A person is working on his computer, and all of a sudden now the computer switches off. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Any little difficulty, he is pricked by a thorn. At that time, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So on any little difficulty, a person should recite inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So he also said that the first thing I did, I made amal on the sunnat, I recited inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then he said, that day after I said Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, that all praises is due to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in whatever condition he keeps us, this bucket that came from the top onto our head, so on this also we make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a person, this is when a person annihilates himself, he lowers himself, then a person, he reaches this level. So there's so much internal illnesses we have, so a person should think of this when he is in a bathroom, when he comes out, he seeks forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. The third reason we gave, which Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Salanpuri rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, that the waste leaving our body, this is a great ni'mat of Allah. We are supposed to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, but the shukr that we make was not enough. So on that we seek forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The fourth reason, Allama Maghribi rahmatullah alayhi has written in the commentary of Abu Dawud Sharif. He said, when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he came onto the earth, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam passed stool for the first time. So the bad smell, the evil smell that was there, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam attributed it to him eating that fruit. Because I ate that fruit, the forbidden fruit, that is why I am now experiencing this bad smell. On that, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam sought forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we also seek forgiveness from Allah ta'ala when we come out of the toilet. And the fifth reason that has been given, that we should contemplate that what a beautiful fruit I had eaten. It was one day a beautiful banana, or it was a mango, or it was an apple, whatever beautiful fruit, or that plate of biryani, such a delicious plate of biryani it was. Now a person, he ate that. Now that beautiful fruit, or that plate of biryani of food, which was so delicious, and such a beautiful aroma was emitting from it, when it came into my system, when it stayed into my company, look at the end result, how it is coming out. So we seek forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that what is my reality, what am I? As Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi has written, that one supposed to be in the zikr of Allah ta'ala all the time. We should have been always in the zikr of Allah ta'ala. But we very, very negligent. So Allah ta'ala's kindness that we have been given these du'as, that on various occasions you read these du'as and you will be considered to be in the zikr of Allah. You wake up in the morning, you read du'a, you're in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Now the sun had risen. So you recited the du'a at that time, you're in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. A person, he now sat down for breakfast. He read the du'as before breakfast, after breakfast. So see, in this way, a person is continuously throughout the day in the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One thing we should be careful of when we go to the toilet is that we should not face towards the qibla, whether with the back or the front. That always be conscious that how is the toilet built, how is it facing. If it is facing in the direction of qibla, obviously by somebody else's place or some public toilet we have to use, then we should turn ourselves, our bodies, and don't face in the direction of qibla. In the hadith it is mentioned, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الْغَائِبِ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُ الْقِبْلَةَ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُهَا. When you come to relieve yourself, then don't let your back also face the qibla, and neither your front face towards the qibla. Why? Because from Kaaba Sharif, qibla is Kaaba Sharif. So from there, there's positive rays that have been given up all the time. And this is impurity. This is now negative. So we got negative and we got positive. So we're going to end up with a clash over here. We're going to end up with a problem. Like a person in his home, he's got the television in his room. And on that television, he is now watching all music, he is watching all haram on that television. And in the same room, what does he got? Has he got? He's got the name of Allah Ta'ala in the frame. He's got the Quran Sharif over there. So from the Quran Sharif, from the name of Allah Ta'ala that is on the frame, Ayatul Kursi that is on the frame, all negative, all positive is coming out. And from here, from the television, is all negative. Now a person is going to end up with all problems in his life. Allah Ta'ala save us. So a person should be careful when he goes to the toilet as well. So this is, we have completed the etiquette and how a person should go to the toilet. The next aspect is the wudu. Wudu, if it is done correctly, this is also a means of forgiveness of all our sins. From wudu is also a means of forgiveness. And we did in the Fazail Amal, that Salah also, if it is done correctly, Allah Ta'ala will cleanse a person, all his minor sins are forgiven. It is mentioned in regards to wudu, إِذَا تَوَدَّ الْعَبْدُ الْمُسْلِمِ. When a Muslim servant, he makes wudu, أَوِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, or a mu'min makes wudu, فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ, he washes his face in wudu, خَرَجَتْ مِنْ وَجْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ نَذَرَ إِلَيْهَا بِعَيْنِهِ مَعَ الْمَاءَ أَوْ مَعَ آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءَ. That whatever guna a person had committed with his face or with his eyes, all those gunas of the eyes, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive him. وَإِذَا غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ, when he washes his hands, خَرَجَتْ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ بَطَشْتَتْهَا يَدَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءَ أَوْ مَا آخِرِ قَطْرِ الْمَاءَ. And when a person, he washes his hand, whatever guna he has committed with his hands, all that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala washes away. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. To such an extent that a person comes out clean, he comes out pure from his gunas. يَخْرَجَتْ means غُفِرَتْ لَهُ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ. That every guna of a person is forgiven. And we know when a person sins, one sin he committed, one black spot on the heart. And if a person doesn't make tawbah, he doesn't make istighfar, it is not washed away, then eventually the heart is covered with blackness, which Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْتِبُونَ. That the rust, the stains of their sin, have covered the heart. When the heart has been covered now, what happens now if you speak to that person, he will not accept. If you tell him that this is the haq, the truth will not penetrate the heart of this person. From this also ulama say that certain sins, that to certain pious people, these sins are visible. Like Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi, when a person would make wudu, he would be able to say, this person committed this sin or committed that sin. Then later on Imam Sahib rahmatullahi made dua to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I don't want to see the sins of people. So then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took this away from him. So through wudu, when a person makes wudu, then all these little sins, the minor sins that a person committed, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cleanses it, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala washes it away in wudu. One sunnah of wudu is the miswak. We did the how long the miswak should be, how thick the miswak should be in the Kitab of Masail. So here, when should the miswak be used? So according to the Hanafis, that at the time of wudu, in the kulli wudu'in, at the time of wudu, a person should use miswak. So this means that if a person came zuhar time, and he made a wudu, so he made miswak. Then he read his zuhar salah. Now let's say he came asr time. So when he came asr time, he had wudu, and with the same dhuhr wudu, he performed his asr salah. He will get the reward of the complete wudu with miswak for his asr salah as well. Why? Because according to the Hanafi madhab, the miswak is to be used in the kulli wudu'in. And according to the Shafi's, there it comes in the kulli salatin. At the time of every salah, you must use miswak. So for them, for example, if a person, he was a Shafi, at the time of zuhr salah, he used miswak. Now when he came back for Asr Salah, he had wudu. So he decided to read his Asr Salah with the same wudu. So does he have to make miswak again or not? No, for the Shafi, he has to make miswak again at the time of Asr Salah. And how should the miswak be used? That also we need to learn, how should the miswak be used. So Atta bin Abi Rabah rahmatullahi alayhi says, وَإِذَا اسْتَقْتُمْ فَاسْتَاكُوا عَرْضًا. When you use the miswak, then the miswak should be used horizontally. It should be used horizontally, it shouldn't be used vertically. Like how horizontally a person he uses the toothbrush when we brush our teeth. So the miswak also, it should be used horizontally. Now many people in today's time, we use a toothbrush. So does the sunnah of miswak, is the sunnah of miswak discharged by using the toothbrush or not? So here the ulama have written, there are two sunnahs. One is the sunnah of making miswak. One is the sunnah of making miswak, of brushing. And the second is the sunnah of using the actual miswak itself. So if a person doesn't have the actual miswak, then a person he uses his finger for example, and he brushes his teeth. Or a person he takes a cloth and he uses that against his teeth. So the one sunnah of making miswak, that will be fulfilled. That will be discharged. But the sunnah of using the actual miswak, that he won't get. That sunnah will only be discharged when a person uses the actual miswak itself. So remember that there are two sunnahs here. Another aspect in regards to wudu is the washing of the hands. When we wash the hands, then the elbow, this part, generally people are very negligent. And especially when it's a cold day now, and there isn't hot water sometimes, then a person is negligent in regards to this. The elbow is left out. So a person should be very particular that the elbow is washed correctly. And the second part is the heels of a person. The feet a person washes, but the heel, the back part of a person of the feet, that should be washed properly as well. That is why in one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it comes, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That woe, destruction for the people of heels from the fire of Jahannam. Why? Because that part when we're making wudu, it is not done. Now when it is not washed, that remains dry. So your wudu is incomplete. So now you're performing salah, your salah is also not done because your wudu was not valid, it was incomplete. So a person should be particular about these two parts when making wudu. At the end of the wudu, it is mentioned, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَأَخَذَ فَضْلَ تَهُورِهِ فَشَرِبَهُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the leftover water. Obviously there, the mud was used, the lota was used, the jug was used to make wudu. So whatever was the leftover, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take that water, and Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would drink that water whilst he is standing. That is why some ulama have written that after making wudu, whatever water remains behind in the lota, in the mud, etc., that to drink this water, they say that it is sunnah. It is sunnah that a person, he stands and drinks it also. Because here he says, فَشَرِبَهُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was standing and he drank it. So two waters Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood and drank. Number one was the water of Zamzam. And the second is this particular water. However, there is difference of opinion among the scholars, like Allama Shami Rahmatullah Alayhi. He's a great scholar, he's a great jurist. Allama Shami Rahmatullah Alayhi says, you can't say it is sunnah. He says the maximum you can say it is mubah, or the maximum that you can say it is mustahab. And Allama Shami Rahmatullah Alayhi said, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood and drank the water of Zamzam, that was because there was no space, there was crowding all around Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he stood and drank the water of Zamzam. And he said that here, that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drank the water of wudu standing, this was to show the ummah that the leftover water of wudu, a person might think it is najis or it is makruh to use. To show the ummah, there's no problem with this water. It's not najis also, it's not impure, and neither is it makruh. You can use this water, whatever remains, after performing your wudu. So this is also a mustahab or a mubah act, that a person, he drinks the water that is remaining in the mud or in a lota if he has, after performing wudu. It is also recorded in the hadith that after wudu, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتَ فَانْتَضِحْ, that when you make wudu, then sprinkle water. Sprinkle water around the private part, etc. of a person on his pants. A person should sprinkle some water. This protects a person from wasawis, the wasawis that a person has of urine drops. So this will protect a person from wasawis of urine drops. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali gave a beautiful explanation to this. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that the actual objective of wudu was to attain internal purification, to purify ourselves internally. But what we are doing, we are purifying ourselves, we are cleansing ourselves externally, we are washing our face externally, our hands externally, making masah, washing the feet externally. So, he says that after wudu, there are two such actions that are mustahab. And if you do these two actions, then you will attain internal purification. So your external purification you will get because you washed it externally. And by doing these two actions, you will get internal purification as well. And he says one is that you will drink the leftover water of wudu. When a person drinks the leftover water of wudu, then he will get internal purification. All the sins of the stomach, etc., all that will be washed out. And the second is sprinkling water on the private part. So here we come to understand also that there are two main parts of the body with which we commit gunas. One is the mouth. That is why we drink the water after wudu. The mouth is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, هَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَةٍ. It's a consequence of the tongue that will make people fall headlong into the fire of Jahannam. So that is one. So the mouth commits a lot of gunas. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the person that can guarantee for me that he will protect what is between the jaws, then I guarantee that person Jannat. And what is between the private part? مَنْ يَزْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَزْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. I guarantee that person Jannat. So a person has to protect his mouth and he has to protect his private part. So these are two places where a person generally commits gunas. The last aspect in regards to wudu is in regards to wastage of water. The Allah Ta'ala give us all, myself also the tawfiq, we all guilty of it. The wudu of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was done with one mud. And how much is one mud? One mud is 796 grams, 0.796 liters. That means 800 milliliters, approximately 800 milliliters, less than 1 liter of water. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make a complete wudu. And whose wudu can be more perfect than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That was the most perfect. Yet he did it in less than 1 liter of water. When we open the tap, already so many liters are already down the drain without us even starting our wudu. And the ghusl of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take place with one sa. One sa is 3.184 liters. Approximately 3.2 liters of water Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would use for an entire ghusl. And here again, the ghusl of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most perfect ghusl. So he made a perfect ghusl with so little water. It is mentioned to the extent that even if a person is at a river bank, there also a person shouldn't waste water. So water is a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. A person should preserve water, he shouldn't waste water. So this is in regards to wudu, which we have already now covered the important aspects of wudu. The next aspect we come to is in regards to the times of salah and how we got these different salahs. Why? How we got our Fajr Salah, how did we get our Zuhr Salah, our Asr Salah, etc. It is mentioned when Salah was made obligatory upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Mi'raj, then Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam came down, and he came down on 2 days. On the first day, Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam made imamat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the awwal time, in the first time. That this is the beginning time of the Salah. It was Fajr time, the awwal time of Fajr. First time of Zuhr, first time of Asr, etc. So the first day he made Salah in the first time. And then he came back on the next day, and the second day Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made imamat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the last time. That this is the last time of the Salah. So this time, between these two times, this is actually the time of Salah. Now Salah was found in every Shariat. From the time of Adam alayhi salam right up to the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Salah was always found. Obviously the number of rakats, the timings, etc., that could have been different, but Salah was there. In the initial stages, in the initial life of Nabi al-Islam, Salah was there also. Salah was there 2 times a day. One was before sunrise and the other was before sunset. Then approximately 1.5 years before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi made Hijrat from Makkah al-Mukarramah and came to Madinah Munawwarah, when Nabi al-Islam went for Hijrat, for Mi'raj, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gifted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the 5 Salah. This was made for us. Now Allama Aini Rahmatullah Alayhi has written in the commentary of Hidayah that the first one to perform, the first person to perform the Fajr Salah was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he ate the forbidden fruit. So he was now sent down onto the earth from Jannat. So when he came into the world, it was night. It was very dark. So at that time now, in Jannat was only enjoyment and luxuries. So he was worried, he was frightened that he had come down at night. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when the sun rose in the morning, so here he was happy that, look at it, the sunrise. So at that time, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam now read 2 rakats of namaz. So we got the salah, the Fajr salah, through the barakat of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The first person to perform the Zuhr Salah was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the time when Allah Ta'ala had commanded him that he must slaughter his son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So at that time, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam performed the Zuhr Salah. So that is where we got our four rakats of Zuhr Salah. The first person to read the Asr Salah was Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. When Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he remained in the belly of the fish. Different riwayat, some say 3 days, some say 7 days, 14 days. And one narration goes up to 40 days that he remained in the belly of the fish. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was thrown out of the belly of the fish, that was the time of Asr. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam performed the Asr Salah at that time. So there we got our Asr Salah. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala once again gave life to Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. He was restricted in the belly of the fish. So that was the Asr Salah. As far as the Maghrib Salah is concerned, the first to perform the Maghrib Salah as a form of gratitude and shukr to Allah Ta'ala was Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And as far as the Isha Salah, the first person to perform Isha Salah was Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time, when he departed from Madian, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ran away from Egypt, when he killed a Coptic, he ran away to Madian and he got married to the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Then he served Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, his father-in-law, for 10 years. And then he was returning. So when he was returning, it was night time. So at that time, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had performed Salah. So that is where we got our Isha Salah from. So see, in our 24 hours, we got the Salah of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. From Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salam, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Salah that they performed, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given it to us. Therefore, it is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that a person that makes a proper wudu and then performs a proper salah with concentration and devotion. According to this narration, it is mentioned, Allah forgives his minor sins also, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive his major sins also on the day of Qiyamah and grant him Jannah. So when salah is done properly, gunas also will be forgiven, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless a person will Jannah as well. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of performing salah. This is according to this one narration. When salah is so important, the fuqaha have written that anything that became an obstacle and prevented a person from performing salah, that was discouraged in Shariat. For example, that it is mentioned in the hadith, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكره النوم قبل العشاء والحديث بعده. That Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم used to dislike sleeping before the Isha salah. After Maghrib salah, a person is makruh for a person to sleep after the Maghrib salah. And for a person to come back from Isha Salah and to engage in conversation, to talk now, futile things, something that's not important, it's a dini gathering or something is different. But a person just sits and talks to his friends. That is also considered as makruh. The fuqaha say it is makruh. Why? Because if a person has to sleep before Isha Salah, he might go into a deep sleep. Now what's going to happen? He's going to miss the Isha Salah. So now it's makruh. Don't sleep after the Maghrib Salah, but a person should stay awake. However, the fatwa is that if a person, for example, he's very tired, and he tells another person that, you know what, you take the responsibility of waking me up for Isha, and then we'll go for Isha Salah. He's very tired, and that's why he went to sleep. And that person took the responsibility to wake him up. Then this ruling won't apply. It won't be makruh now, because somebody has taken the responsibility to wake him up and to go for the Isha Salah. So if a person, nobody has taken the responsibility, now it is makruh because it's possible he'll miss the Isha Salah. Wal haditha ba'dahu, and to speak after the Isha Salah, that is also makruh. This is referred to as samura. That normally speaking refers to speaking after Isha. Normally in the previous days, the people used to sit out at night, and it was the custom among the Arab that on the moonlit night they would sit and they would tell stories. So this word samura is used for storytelling. They used to tell stories at night when it was a brightly lit night. So here, if a person is going to sit out and is going to engage in storytelling, or today a person is going to sit and read novels or talk and enjoy with his friends, etc., then it will become an obstacle for a person to wake up for tahajjud namaz, to wake up for fajr namaz. As I said, if there is some dini program and a person sits, then there is no problem. On the masjid board, it's there, but we will repeat it, that one Khalifa of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab Rahmatul Ali, Maulana Abdul Rauf Sukarwi Rahmatul Ali, Damul Barakatum, he has mentioned in regards to the Fajr Salah that many people, they experience difficulty in waking up for Fajr Salah. So he said, what should they do in order to wake up for Fajr Salah? So the first advice that he gives, he said, sleep early. Person should go to bed after Isha Salah. A person doesn't have any work, go and sleep. The head of the family should fix a time when the lights will be switched off daily. That whoever is the father or the head of the family, he must say that 10 o'clock, for example, is cut off time. All the lights will be switched off. Everyone must be sleeping. As Qari Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Qari Ismail Ishaq Sahib, who used to teach Qiraat, who was a vice principal of our madrasa also, as Qari Sahib, in his wasiyat, he had written that 10 o'clock or 10:30 latest in his house, the light must be switched off and everyone must be sleeping at that time. So now if everyone is sleeping early, to wake up for Fajr Salah is going to be easy. Otherwise, everyone sleeps late, then it will be difficult to wake up in the morning. Number two, he said that have an early supper, not a late, heavy supper. Why? When you're going to eat late. Now, for example, after Mutala, a person finishes 9:30, now he goes and eats heavy. Now, at the time of Fajr, it's difficult for him to wake up because the stomach is heavy, it's going to be difficult. But if a person had eaten, for example, after Maghrib Salah or before Maghrib Salah, depending on season in madrasa, person has already eaten. Now, after Isha, maybe he has a cup of tea or something light and he goes to sleep. Now for him to wake up will be easy. Why? The stomach was not so heavy. So number two, don't have a heavy meal late at night. Otherwise, it will be difficult for a person to wake up. Number three, he wrote that reduce the consumption of liquids at night. During the day, a person should take in a lot of liquids, water, etc. During the day, a person should drink 6 to 8 glasses of water during the day. But at night, a person shouldn't drink a lot of water. Because according to his research, he says it causes laziness in a person. And it's also written that when a person wakes up in the morning, then also he should drink water because it gets all the organs of the body functioning. First thing in the morning, a person should drink water. And if a person does partake of meals at night before sleeping, then after partaking of meals, he should take a minimum of 40 steps and then a person should go to sleep. Number five, he says that we should set an alarm according to your need. Some people, they are disturbed the slightest noise, so they don't need a very loud alarm. And some people, even if it's a loud alarm, they won't wake up. So for them, they need an alarm according to their sleep. And the alarm shouldn't be kept next to them. It should be kept at a distance at the feet. So a person has to wake up and he has to go and switch the alarm off. Now he knows he's awake, he has to go for Fajr Salah. But if it's next to a person, now he'll switch it off, he'll go back to sleep. Well, it says snooze over there. So he'll carry on snoozing after that. And the last, he said that recite the last four verses of Surah Kahf. Recite the last four verses of Surah Kahf. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati kanat lahum jannatul firdausi nuzula. Till the end of the surah. Through this, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for a person to wake up for the Fajr Salah. Also, a person, what he should do before sleeping, he should read two rakats of namaz, particularly those that have difficulty. Read two rakats of namaz and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Many people, Fajr namaz becomes qaza. They say, we can't wake up for Fajr. We just can't wake up for Fajr. Yeah, in the madrasa, mashallah, that the intizam is here. The nazim come, they wake you up. The other students are waking up. So eventually a person wakes up. But when a person is at home, then there's nobody to wake you up over there. So many people say, we just can't, even though the alarm is there, we still can't wake up. So a person should make dua to Allah Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala to make it easy for us to wake up. And Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us. We'll continue from here tomorrow, inshallah.